No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
All right, we are back out of Oneonta, New York, where it is not snowing and it is not really Christmas time, but I guess it is. This is Louder Than Words Radio. I'm your host, Jason Burmis. You can go to www.loosechange911.com right now and check our film out for free. You can go to rbnlive.com right now and buy hard copies of our film, America, Freedom to Fascism, and other great patriot videos. On top of that, we have my buddy Killtown on the line. Before I put Killtown on and wish him a Merry Christmas, I'm going to give you the call-in number. It's 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. Killtown, are you there?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Good. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too, my friend.
Am I coming in okay?
Yeah, you're coming in all right. So what's new on the Killtown scene?
Well, I want everybody to visit my blog at killtown.blog.com. I've been researching the Shanksville botched crash scene really hardcore, and I found a lot of interesting stuff I want everybody to take a look at, including you.
Sure.
You know those aerials of the fire damage to the force section, you know, and how the force section's at an odd trajectory that doesn't even line up with the plane coming in, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so the depth of the force damage is about 60, 70 yards, right? However, I've always wondered, not so much what caused it, but, like, how come it was so much of the force is damaged, and yet when the first responders got there within minutes, they didn't report anything much that was on fire. I mean, there's just that little white, you know, little bit of white smoke coming from the forest where the broken trees were, right, that we saw?
Yeah. I'm on your blog, and I'm checking it out myself.
Gotcha. Well, there is an aerial taken, I think, either on 9/11 or the next day from WTAE. However, look at it very closely. The forest doesn't even look damaged at all. I'm wondering if they didn't burn that forest after 9/11, like on the next day or so.
Huh. I'm looking at the U-shaped thing.
I'm sorry?
No, I'm looking at it. Which one's this? The photo from USAattack.com?
Well, okay, that is the aerial most people know. It's only one of four aerials of the scene.
Mm-hmm.
If you go down the fourth picture down, you'll see a person's head looking out of a helicopter. Attack on four. It's WTAE.
Mm-hmm.
I've outlined where the line is, where the fake wing impressions are, and the little service road.
Where the fake, what was, I'm sorry, I dropped line. It. What was that?
Uh-huh. I said there's, I outlined the fake wing impressions in a red dotted oval.
Uh-huh.
And then along the bottom of the tree line is a orange dotted line. That's the service road. Excuse me. Well, if you look at the forest, in this photo, it doesn't even look like it's hardly damaged. It's nowhere as near as damaged as the scope we see on the FBI aerial that was supposedly taken the day after, which I think it was taken many days after. Or there's two other ones by USAattack.com, which I think they got from the EPA, that shows a greater depth of forest damage. And you see the front of the forest, the trees are really thinned out and everything. However, on this WTAE news chopper photo, it doesn't even look like the forest is damaged at all. So how could that be? Well, the only logical explanation is that it was damaged afterwards.
Huh.
Think about it. Think about all the photos we saw of the crash scene. They're mostly taken on the ground of kind of like the crater and just that front section of the forest. You can't tell.
I'd sure like to see that video, wouldn't you?
Exactly. Well, I found one video of them showing, like, taken on the ground that was showing that the forest was hardly burnt at all. It was only the couple trees where the treetops were broken.
All right, let's talk about it on the other side, Killtown. We'll talk to you on the other side. This is Loudland Wars Radio. I wanna
think that we don't know that you're up to no good when you're telling lies. We saw the towers fall to ashes like they were laced with bombs. Are you sure only two planes did that harm? You told us Flight 77 hit the Pentagon. But there's no photos of parts, man. Plus the science is wrong. You let it happen like FDR did Pearl Harbor so you could profit from war. Sorta like your father taking lives and oil in the name of freedom. Our innocent are either tortured, left homeless or bleeding. Just for America is what they scream while you preach freedom and the American dream. Truth dying, mothers crying, still trying to cope while you're denying that the dangers from Iraq was a hoax. You're not a man of the people, just a product of evil. Greed, power, and God, a combination is lethal. So deceitful is criminal, but soon the truth will rise. Lies.
All right, we are back. This is Louder Than Words Radio. So Killtown, I was checking it out anyway and looking over some of the things, and you really have some of the best pictures of how the wreckage was really strewn out throughout the forest and, like, by these little cottages as well.
Yeah, you know, I think Shanksville is really the most overlooked aspect of 911 being a conspiracy. It's so obvious that no plane crashed there. I think they just botched the scene so much on that day that they had to, strewn more debris out everywhere. You know, it's like all the debris we saw was basically in the forest under the cover of trees. I mean, we saw the ridiculous the four-windowed piece of fuselage with no insulation left on it, and that other big piece, medium-sized piece that was painted, you know, the colors of United Airlines. Well, my question is, how did those get there in the forest when we were told the plane plunged underground? It just doesn't make any sense. It only makes sense if those pieces are planted, like the pristine red bandana, the Bible that was open.
Well, Killtown, let me ask you something.
Sure.
Have you read the last part of Northwoods where they actually talk about having a war game fooling F-10 fighters out by the Cuban border that a MiG had shot down one of their fighters, throwing out a drone and then dispersing basically F-10 parts and parts of the communicating equipment and like a scarf and everything else so that the other guys would have thought that it was a real deal?
Yeah, they talked about with a submarine or something, they'd rise up and start planting parts on the surface of the water and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, this
it's
thought
unbelievable.
Of way back when, you know. But I wanted to...
And I got to tell you that I'm checking out your debris from the EPA... Yeah, I'm checking out your debris from the EPA 1 JPEG, and it's pretty incredible. I mean, you got little pieces strewn all throughout the top roof of the house. You have these little parts that are just unidentifiable anywhere. You don't see a body part of any sort. I mean... God knows what happened
there.
Yeah, it's very bizarre.
Yeah, real quick, you know, the first reports of all the people on scene was just shredded bits of metal parts everywhere. They didn't see any big pieces and stuff. And if you look at some of these shredded metal parts, you can't identify if they came from a plane or what. They're just metal parts. Did anybody notice what's the nearest business next to the crash scene? It's a scrap metal yard. And that's where the only witness, his name is Lee Perbo, was, who supposedly actually saw whatever crash there hit the ground. He was only on his second day of work there at the scrapyard, and the guy's ex-Navy. I mean, how many coincidences do we have before, you know, people just wake up and realize that the whole thing was an entire hoax?
I'm with you, Killtown. I think that Shanksville, Pennsylvania, there's no way that a commercial airliner crashed into that open field and did what it did. I'm with you 110%. I continue to try to make that point to people, and I encourage your research. Anything else you want to plug before you go, Killtown?
Well, there's one I recommend people watch GNN's UA93, The Road to Shanksville. It's got an interesting couple of clips. There's three Shanksville students who, after they saw the explosion there, saw a fighter plane fly over seconds afterwards. And this is in direct contradiction to the FBI, who said, when the second plane came in the area, they said came in minutes after, where these three students said, no, it was right there, it was seconds afterwards. This is absolute proof that the FBI lied about some aspect of the story.
All right, Killtown, I appreciate your call. Merry Christmas. We're going to go to our next phone caller. All right, thanks, man. We're going to go to our next caller in Oklahoma. Shelby, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Yeah, I was going to say, I bought a 9/11 shirt. It was off of eBay. It was a different shirt than yours. It said, you know, 9/11 was an inside job, and it has, you know, says it on the back and front and stuff. And I wore it up to the mall as soon as I got it. Like, I was so happy I got it and stuff like that. And I had one bad response. I had one guy kind of look at me and shake his head, and I kind of noticed him. I didn't say nothing to him because I was at the mall. Then I went bowling and stuff, and I had the guy at the bowling alley, and he's like, I like your shirt and stuff. And then, you know, they had the Conspirathon up here in Oklahoma City that you guys sent some extra DVDs down here, so I picked up 5 or 6.
Oh, cool.
In my car, and one guy told me about it. I asked him if he'd seen the video, and he said no. And so I went out to my car and gave him a copy of it and told him, he should watch it. And, you know, he believed that, you know, there's more questions to be answered and stuff like that. So, I mean, I asked him the next week if he liked
it. Excellent, excellent.
He definitely said he enjoyed the video and stuff like that. And he said, you know, if I have any more copies, if I can give them to him so he can pass them to his friends, so I'm going to try to make more copies. Then I had a...
All right.
You know, I had...
Yo, you definitely keep it up, Shelby.
Yeah, and then I had a... I checked on you on your video. You showed the FAA tail number saying that they were still active. Now, I looked up on the FAA website, you know, a couple weeks ago, and it showed that the two that were supposed to be two active ones are canceled now. They didn't say destroyed, and the two that crashed in the World Trade Centers, they destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And the Flight 93 and 77 that crashed in the Pentagon, just say canceled on them.
Well, you know, they ended up doing that destroyed thing, I think, shortly after we released the second edition. After they were still active, then they all of a sudden became out of commission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay. Well, that was it. I just wanted to tell you about that.
All right. All right. I thank you for the call, and Merry Christmas, Shelby. All right, let's go to John in Texas. Is Johnny there?
Yes. Hello?
Yes. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I had a question for you. I've seen the first and second editions of Loose Change.
Sure.
And I was wondering, with respect to the second edition, are there pieces of that documentary that you think you would change, like particularly on the stuff with Flight 93 in Cleveland?
Well, the Cleveland thing, I got to be honest, when we were first putting it together, I told Dylan that it was really confusing. It was only the WCPO report. And, of course, in retrospect, but I do think something happened at Cleveland. I don't know whether Flight 93 landed there, but they did report it landing there. The debunkers, the people that called me up from the Sun-Herald Times, said a KC-135 was the plane that actually, it was either KC-135 or 137, was the plane that actually landed and cleared out at the NASA Glenn Research Center. Recently, someone threw an FOIA, got it, no KC-135 landed there. I think a KC-35 landed there, but not the same plane. So, you know, who knows? I mean, obviously, there'd be more discretion, and there will be in the final cut. Some of the other things that we changed between the second edition and the second edition recut is the TARP was debunked. You know, Russell Pickering's done a lot of great work over at Pentagon Research. I mean, we're not going to be 110%, but the bottom line is that World Trade Center 1, 2, and 7 are controlled demolitions. And something else happened in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. There's no way that a commercial airliner just barreled into a field and disappeared. I refuse to believe that explanation.
Yeah.
As many people try to set it forth to me. And, you know, the next movie is really going to focus on NORAD. It's going to focus on Able Danger. It's going to focus on the demolition still. It's going to focus on, you know, Shanksville in a more open way, I think. And we're really going to just open it up for questions and try not to speculate as much, I guess.
Yeah. When is the next edition coming out?
We're shooting for a between I believe May and June, July-ish release now, hopefully in theaters. We may all be taking off somewhere soon to put this project together. We've been hard at work on the script now for just like 3 or 4 months, just trying to bang it out and see what's gonna be new and trying to find the footage that we have to, you know, now get legally and licensed through everything. So hopefully we're looking at from May to maybe early July.
Okay, I'll be looking for it. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. All right, let's go to DM in California. DM, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, man, how you doing?
Appreciate you taking my call.
No problem.
That'll work. Yeah, it's basically, I wanted to get basically send you out a high five from the hood. I'm calling you straight, you know, live from Los Angeles up over here. So we're getting... the Loose Change awareness cultivated and stimulated around here in this area. It's been pretty interesting talking with some of the people that have, seen the DVD after me to them. So it's pretty interesting. I was going to talk about something else really quick, but I kind of rekindled.
Sure, go ahead.
It kindled up something else when I heard him talk about where you guys are going to be taking the next one. And you had mentioned, you know, focusing on the three demolitions and then maybe like the Shanksville. But what about the Pentagon? Are you going to leave the Pentagon alone, or are you still going to...
Nah, the Pentagon's going to be revamped, though. It's definitely going to be revamped. You're going to hear a lot more about the Norman Mineta testimony at the Pentagon, the fact that nobody was warned. You know, obviously we're going to show you all the footage that's been released of the Pentagon strike. We went out to Washington, D.C. earlier in the year and spent almost a week there. Got a lot of eyewitness accounts on videotape, so there's a lot more of that. The Bob Pugh footage. We're not gonna shy away from the Pentagon, but we're going to do it in a manner that really opens it up to a new audience, I think.
Yeah, because some people, they seem to, like, want to leave the Pentagon alone. Like, but to me, it's, like, real simple when you look at the whole... I mean, we can get into some of those other, you know, components as well, but how the plane didn't fit with the wingspan, the height of the building, you know, no scrapings on the lawn and all that. Some people, I don't know why some people just seem to just leave the Pentagon out of the whole picture. That seems to be something
that's...
Well,
the whole thing is, I mean, there's no way that commercial airliner is going to barrel into that building so low and not scrape the lawn. I mean, come on.
And then the roof was still there. The roof collapsed like later. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was like 35 minutes later. I mean, come on. I mean, we actually, to tell you this, we did go out and we got interviewed of the Pentagon for the collapse. All right, we're going to come back on the other side, DM. Thank you for your call, and we're going to take more callers. It is 1-800-313-9443.
Truth dying, mothers crying, still trying to cope while you're denying that the dangers from Iraq was a hoax. You're not a man of the people, just a product of evil. Greed, power, and God, a combination that's lethal. So deceitful is criminal, but soon the truth will rise. Lies.
All right, it's Louder Than Words Radio coming at you from Oneonta, upstate New York. We're wishing everybody a Merry Christmas. We're talking about what we have to be thankful for as a Patriot and 9/11 Truth Movement this year. And we're taking your calls at 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. Let's go to Quest in Connecticut. Quest, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
How are you?
Pretty good. Jason, you there?
Yes.
Jason, this is Quest from Loose Change.
Oh, I know who you are, Quest.
Oh, yeah. How are you?
I'm good, man.
That's good. Hey, regarding one topic, as far as like any speculation in Loose Change, and I have absolutely no problem with it. People are, as they come across this information for the first time, are going to ask questions, and that's natural. They're going to ask questions about the different events. And in the case of where police are opening an investigation into a crime, they speculate on different facets of the crime and don't draw any conclusions until they get enough information in. And that's just the way investigations go. You know, so I have absolutely no problem going, you know, questioning the Cleveland issue. But I thought that was something that needed to be said.
Yeah.
That gravy interview, that was interesting also. I was hoping someone would absolutely just hammer this guy instead of letting them nitpick over minutia and small details. And,
well, the thing is that we knew we were going on there, and we knew that the host was going to have this guy's back. And we knew we were going to have to let him talk. And to me, it was just like, all right, whatever. You know, we're going to go do this. I don't want anybody to say that we're afraid to face our detractors, you know, our debunkers. Because, you know, the guy, I mean, just look at what he had to say. I mean, he tries to bring up the fact that, oh, I read all 10,000 pages of the report. And then he goes to the same exact diagrams that I've seen, and I call him on it and say, yeah, but those didn't collapse. You know, they didn't collapse, man. They did, you know, bend a little bit, and they did sag, but they didn't collapse. And he's like, well, the, you know, pressure from the World Trade Center. I'm like, everything was supposed to be accounted for, and it wasn't. You know, and, so, I mean, they're going to argue with that circular logic all the time.
Exactly. And then they always try to tie it back to insignificant items also. You know, they might make a big point about, again, about Cleveland, for example, whereas, or some aspects of the hijackers or their identities, and suppose, you know, what they would say is speculation. But, again, what do hijackers have to do with the controlled demolitions of the buildings?
Exactly, and they don't want to talk about 7 at all. Yeah, and they don't want to talk about 7. You notice every time I went to 7,
yep.
You know, they tried to change the subject, and I would say, well, you know, I think the molten metal at the bottom of 7 is especially, oh, well, that's molten aluminum. I'm like, these are steel frame buildings. I'm like, if it was molten aluminum, it would have cooled off on the steel because that molten aluminum is not hot enough to melt steel, period. Yet we had these fires there till December.
I can't believe that gravy is... It's hard for me to believe after listening to this guy and as much as we know about him or whatever, or we think we know about him, that he gets to devote or cares to devote all the time that he does attempting to debunk. It makes you really wonder what the guy's agenda really is.
Oh, well, obviously, you know, I don't trust the guy. And, you know, it's like I say, you know, I'm going to take all these guys on because I don't feel like they, you know, when you – tell people that the crash site in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, well, there's no plane there because the plane was buried under the ground, you know, 30 or 40 feet. I'm like, come on, man. I mean, are people really buying that?
Absolutely ridiculous. And when you look at all the, if I could just, since you mentioned Shanksville,
sure.
If you just look at all of the governments, well, they're obviously the government is into coincidence theory. If you look at all the coincidences surrounding the Shanksville event, you have, as Killtown mentioned earlier, you have the former Navy man who was one of the lone eyewitnesses there in Shanksville, and it was his second day on the job at the scrapyard just down the road. Literally, the road connects the scrapyard to the Shanksville site. And then you have the plane crashing into an abandoned mine. And so again, there's little or no witnesses other than this person from the scrapyard. And then on top of that, it's supposedly boggy or very soft ground, so it goes into the ground. And then it's at the edge of the woods, which makes it plausible that some or if not most of the wreckage, a lot of the wreckage has gone into the woods. And then it goes on and on and on. And after a while, it's like, this is ridiculous. Who writes this stuff? As Dylan says in the
exactly.
Page. It's just absolutely absurd. But I just want to say great job to you guys, and thank you for all your efforts, and looking forward to spreading the truth, and hopefully something comes to fruition soon.
All right. Thanks, Quest. Merry
good job,
Christmas.
Guys.
All right. Later on. All right. Let's go to Gino in California. Gino, are you there?
Hello, Jason.
You want to turn off your video, man?
Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
Hey, Jason, I know the break's coming up here, but quickly, there's a few things I wanted to go over about the crash site in Shanksville. And,
sure.
You know, here's the bumper, so do you want to just...
let's do it on the other side. The call-in line is 1-800-313-9443. We'll talk about Shanksville more with Gino in California on the other side.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Lies. All right, we are back with Louder Than Words Radio out of upstate New York in Oneonta. We're talking to Gino in California about the Shanksville crash site, and the call-in line is 1-800-313-9443. Go ahead, Gino.
Yeah, Jason, thanks. And I just have to, first of all, kind of just let you know that I haven't done a lot of research into the Shanksville incident myself, so I'm just going to go off of kind of some of the, I don't want to say mainstream media, but just some of the information that's out there, and then please jump in and correct me if I'm wrong, because I want to learn as well here. But one of the things that it's my understanding is that Flight 93 basically nosedived into the ground, correct?
The official explanation the 9/11 Commission ended up coming up with was that although the people were trying to overtake the cockpit, they weren't able to, and Ziad Jarrah nosedived the plane when he realized they were going to lose the cockpit, yes.
So it would tend to say that it nosedived into the ground.
Sure.
And if we look at the crater, we could see that that would be somewhat of a possibility. And don't get me wrong here. I'm not trying to make a claim that this is what happened, but I want to debunk their claim. And we can see that there's this crater that it looks like there's, you know, a kind of a hole where the fuselage would be. And then, of course, you know, a little bit of a crater going out each way where the wings would be.
Yeah.
Right? So which would tend to tell us that there was a nosedive. Okay? But here's one of the things that just bothers the heck out of me. And this plane had X amount of fuel on it, too. Supposedly, it was transcontinental, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
it would have had a lot of fuel.
Yeah, it's got a very good fuel payload to it. Well, if this thing nosedived into the ground, and I think that you guys did a good job of kind of pointing this out in your second edition with, I forget what that one plane was that crashed into the side of the mountain.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Okay, and there was fire everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and of course there's debris as well.
Yeah.
And then here we've got, at Shanksville, we've got this nice big field with grass basically growing right up to the crater.
Mm-hmm. No black marks, no big fireballs anywhere. The grass wasn't even singed. That's a big problem to me, too. Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
That's ludicrous.
Yeah, and I would just say check out, in Loose Change 1, we have a video clip of an even larger scattered debris field, and I'm looking at some pictures right now I hadn't even seen of even a larger debris field. From Killtown's blog spot, and it's obvious whatever happened there, a commercial airliner was not driven straight into the ground. I'm sorry, that's just an impossibility.
Yeah, and so that's the very first thing that I wanted, that just leaps out at me. It's like, you know, and I saw a close-up picture, I don't know where it was, but I could have sworn that I saw grass growing in the crater itself.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I've seen that picture, too. Yeah, it's very suspicious, Gino. I think that that does deserve a lot more attention, and people should look at Shanksville to realize it does not look like a commercial airliner crashed in an open field in Pennsylvania. Any other points, Gino?
Well, there's a few other things that, you know, that I wanted to bring up here. And one of the things that I get all the time is, what happened to all the people?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the very first thing that comes out of people's mouth is, where's all the people that were on the planes if they weren't actually people on those planes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and, you know, the one thing that I'd really like to do is go back and visit the Northwoods document, there are documents there that actually say that there was going to be, and I don't have it in front of me, so I can't quote word for word, but I'll paraphrase here a little bit, that there was going to be people boarded with aliases.
Mm-hmm.
So that supposedly they're, you know, these people, I don't know, obviously would be working with the agency or, and I think Webster Tarpley does a good job of bringing this out in his, in the one seminar that I've seen his that's available on DVD, is that he talks about how there, in one of these war games, there was actually live fly and supposedly live people aboard too, and he says he called them actors.
What he's talking about, Gino? Yeah, what he's talking about is Amalgam Virgo, and this was put to paper and not carried out until after 9/11. But this is Amalgam Virgo Part 2, where they were going to have two FBI agents pose as hijackers and hijack commercial airlines. I believe one was coming in from Alaska, and it's just incredible.
Okay, so apparently all the people, the passengers on board, were supposed to be actors as well, correct?
It kind of alludes to that, but it kind of leaves that also in a gray area. I know in the Northwoods document what they planned on doing was using military personnel, saying they were college students on vacation, and using those aliases for mock funerals and whatnot.
Right. Okay. So here I want to go back to the official version. And, you know, and people say, well, what happened to all these people? Well, why couldn't they be people, you know, in the armed services that are, you know, feel that they're patriots? And, you know, this is...
Well, you know what, Gino, I don't disagree with you. It's a possibility, but my gut tells me that most of those people, if not all of them, are dead, and that there was, you know, little to no other government involvement. I mean, they were such small passenger payloads. I think that they had to get rid of a lot of people. A lot of them worked for Raytheon and other corporations. I thank you for the call, Gino, and Merry Christmas. All right, let's go to Jack in Tennessee. Jack, are you there?
Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
What happens this summer when you guys release your film and then 5 days later the government releases computer-generated images of the plane hitting the Pentagon? And actually, it wouldn't even have to be of the plane hitting the Pentagon, but rather images of the plane approaching the Pentagon. Now, I know you might say, well, you know, there's no way it could have fit through that hole, so any images would, you know, wouldn't explain anything anyway. But what it would do would be to create a massive PR blitz against the film. I mean, how would you guys react to that?
Well, I think that we're going to handle it in such a way that won't matter one way or the other with the new film.
Really?
And yes.
I'm assuming you can't give any details about that, the way you said it.
Well, I can give you details in the facts that we're going to focus on why the Pentagon shouldn't have been struck at all, rather than what actually struck the Pentagon. We're only going to allude to it, and really we're gonna come at it from every angle. We're going to let people decide. We're not going to go as hardcore as we did in the second edition. That's what's going to make all these films different. I mean, you know, the second edition is going to be a great place for people to go back and look at other evidence that we just couldn't cover in this new edition, but we feel that this one's going to be so strong that, you know, people are automatically going to know that something is wrong.
Good. Thank you so much. And one thing I want to thank you, all of you guys, for is that you've done a really good job of allowing the progressive youth community to really grab hold of the 9/11 truth movement. And I see that happening here in Knoxville on the campus of the University of Tennessee, and I hear about it happening other places. So I really appreciate that sort of feel, the young, hip, sort of progressive feel that you sort of promoted getting onto this thing. The last thing I want to say is that, you know, of all the things that I've talked about here locally, you know, to professors and other very intelligent critics of the 9/11 truth movement, what's most hardest for them to sort of debunk is this idea of molten metal being found underneath all three buildings, even up to 4 to 6 weeks later. But I just think that's some really powerful information once it gets out there and people look at it. It's really hard to look past that or explain that away.
I totally agree with you, and happy holidays, Jack. Let's go to Arthur in Texas. Arthur, are you there?
And I appreciate you, Alex Jones, and Dr. Deagle revealing reality and truth. I'm going to make this short, but it has to be a little vague starting out. You'll understand why. I won't specify which nation of the world I am referring to, but this country is being destroyed by its political and military leaders who are God's illegitimate children, sons and daughters of the devil. It is my prayer that these guards who protect those leaders will listen to the spirit of our most holy God, and the guards will bring judgment upon these evil people. They know in their hearts what they must do. Otherwise, billions of people will suffer and die needlessly. And that's all I wanted to say. And I really appreciate I've been
all right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Arthur. I appreciate the call, and Merry Christmas to you. All right, let's go out to Mike in Arizona. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hey, just a comparison to talking about the Shanksville and this hole in the ground and everything. Another famous airplane crash would be 103 in Lockerbie, and that happened, that was around the 23rd of December. I think that was in 88. Now, we're told that the airplane was taken down with a bomb up in the forward fuselage, and the plane disintegrated in air, and then it free fell. Draw your attention to a pretty famous photograph. It's an aerial photograph there in Lockerbie, and there's this huge trough dug behind the row of houses.
Oh, I have it right in front of me. I know exactly what you're talking about.
There you go. And that hole, that trough, was dug by the wing and not by the fuselage. You know, looking at it, you'd think that
it's like a fuselage. Sure.
Yes, but that was definitely by just one fuel-laden wing. So back to the Shanksville thing of if this was a transcontinental flight, and that was not free-falling. It was being flown directly in the ground. They said it was exceeding its characteristics, so it would be falling lots faster than a free-fall flight. So why aren't there two huge holes on each side of this Shanksville impact site?
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. And that Lockerbie crash is a great one to show people because that huge gash in the ground is just unbelievable. And to think that, you know, again, a commercial airliner falls into a hole that size in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and leaves no discernible wreckage whatsoever is just heinous and wrong.
Yes, sir. One other thing, too, just a comment about the loose change second version. And, you know, I know that on there it's you say it's a B-52, but it's actually a B-25 that went into the Empire State Building. But one thing is we have to make clear is we cannot compare the Empire State Building with the World Trade Center. The World, there's different types of construction, and the Empire State Building is what they call a mass construction, where the base of it is like 30 feet, and then it goes up 20, 30 stories, and it shrinks down to 20 feet, and then on up from there, and it's all brick. So it's a different, the load bearing is on the lower part of it, and the World Trade Center is what's referred to as a clad construction, and that is where they hang up the steel, and then they hang all the exterior, everything off of that. So, you know, I appreciate your film and everything, and I showed it to some people, and all they seem to do is, well, you know, why can't you just answer the questions, and why is it that all you want to do is ask questions? And I try to make the comparison and saying, well, it's just kind of like the 9/11 commission. They brought these people before their hearing, and the commission asked the questions, and it was so called up to our quote-unquote experts to answer the questions. So I appreciate all that you guys have done. Thank you very much. God bless you, and have a Merry Christmas.
All right. Thanks for the call, Mike. Oh, man. Just so much going on in the Louder Than Words camp. I mean, a new year, a new film on the way. Hopefully, new people in this movement. Hopefully, wake up, you know, this country before it's too late. Hopefully, really make an impact. Hopefully, really make a difference. And that's what it's all about. We can do this thing. I feel so positive about the end of this year. We're going to win. And it's just a matter of time. I hope that we do it well. I hope that we can get behind each other and see past our petty differences and really, really just get into it. So, you know, hopefully you're going to go to loosechange911.com right now. You're going to get a link for the film. And you're going to send it out to all your friends and family. You're going to go to loosechange911.com. And you're going to grab a copy of Loose Change or maybe a 50 spindle and hand them out. You're going to go to rbnlive.com. You're going to get America Freedom to Fascism. You're going to get 9/11 Press for Truth. You're going to show that to people. You know, you might want to go to thirdeyerecords.com. That's third eye with an I, the letter I, records.com, and pick up my bumper music from Remo Conscious or the Loose Change soundtrack or Michael Parker's Phantasmagloria, which is an excellent CD. You know, get out there, you know, make a difference as a patriot. You know, I really, truly believe that we create our own destinies, and it's what we surround ourselves and our lives that make the difference on whether we're happy or not, or whether we go for, you know, what is true and what is real. And, you know, a lot of people look at this stuff and they say, wow, this is really scary. Well, I'm more scared, again, that more people aren't hip to these tricks and aren't doing something about it, because I don't want to end up in a nation where conscription is happening again, where our sons and daughters, brothers and sisters are over in the Middle East fighting an unjust war for resources and power. I'm all out on that. You know, I'm going to do what I can to fight that, and I hope more people take up into arms and do the same thing and fight this info war. And join the sides of, you know, RBN Live and, you know, GCN and Alex Jones and Loose Change Crew and 911blogger.com. And GNN does some great work. You know, get behind Vox Pop and Sander Hicks. He's a really good guy. you know, go help Bob Bowman. You know, let's figure out a real political strategy where he can win an office and we can bring these things to light. There's just so much out there to do, and really, who knows how much time we have left. I really believe that we've done a lot this year, but we can do even more next year. Maybe that's what your New Year's resolution should be next week. That I'm just going to not stop. I'm going to do as much as I possibly can to get this information to as many people as I can so that I can still live in a somewhat free country, so that I can, you know, bring back the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, the things that used to make this nation great. We can have dissent in this country again. You know, habeas corpus will be reinstated magically. Somehow we have to bring that back. I mean, it's unbelievable. And, you know, one of the things I'm reading this week is, oh, we should really make a law that says that Bush can't wiretap American citizens, you know, without a warrant. And I'm thinking to myself, the law already exists. It's already out there. If you would enforce it, Congress, there would not be a problem. There would not be a problem. But instead, he can just tap whoever he wants. Well, if you want to give me your final Christmas thoughts, the call-in line is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. What do you have to be thankful for, America? What do you have to be thankful for? That's the real question. I mean, is it the sports you watch? I really hope not. I got to admit, though, guys, you know, now that it is Christmas, and it's been Christmas for me and my Knicks lately. They got 3 in a row, and it's big time, 2 in overtime. Very exciting stuff for a Knicks fan that doesn't see a lot of victories lately. You know, go Isaiah Thomas. So we'll come back on the other side with my final thoughts, and hopefully a Merry Christmas.
They say milk to the body good. How so? It causes a disease. Don't trust me? Read about BGH and RGF.
For Christmas, of course, coming up. And we got two callers on the line, so we're going to try to get to them. Denise in California, what's up?
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were talking to me. It broke up just as you said hello. Hi there. I just wanted, is this Jason?
Yes.
Jason, I just wanted to say, first of all, you know, I'm such a fan of you guys. You've done so much to move this whole controversy forward and to bring it into the light, and I know that they're going to attack you, but just stay strong because, you know, the truth is on your side. You guys and Alex Jones and Webster Tarpley and James Spencer, I'm in awe of all of you because you have the courage and the ability to just really make this happen. So thanks.
Well, thank you, Denise, and you have a happy holiday, and it's going to take more of us to come forward, and it's going to take us to knock on our neighbors and, you know, friends' doors and say, hey, this is information that affects all of our lives, and we need to get out into the open because it's not gonna heal itself.
But, you know, they're all so lazy. They get their car, their SUVs and load them up with 55 gallons of nacho cheese powder on the weekends, and that's pretty much it. And to really try to rattle that reality and shake that. Hey, my question.
Sure.
Loose change. The name has always baffled me.
What is it?
To loose, like let loose the dogs of war? Loose change?
No, actually, it's a metaphor for the fact that all this information is loose. It's out there. It's on the Internet. People know about it. It's loose, and it's creating a change. So it is a loose change. You can't stop it.
Makes absolute sense now. I feel like an idiot.
Denise, thank you for your call.
Hey, thank you so much, guys. I really need it. Merry Christmas.
All right, bye-bye now. All right, let's go to Frank in Texas. Frank, you there?
Yeah, Frank. Yeah, Jason?
Yes.
I'm not sure. I'm a first-time listener, and I'm not sure what cause you guys are trying to go after here. I personally am a fan of Sean Hannity.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not sure you're going to be down with what we are, but I'll tell you what, man. If you're willing to look, and by the way, I'm not a right or left. I'm not a big liberal or a Democrat. You know, I'm about Second Amendment rights. I'm about smaller government, that sort of thing. I just can't align myself with these two criminal parties. But if you've got the bravery to check our stuff out, go to a website called loosechange911.com. All right, and you can watch our documentary film about the September 11 attacks for free.
Okay. Let me ask you one thing.
Sure.
Are you guys the crazies that are basically believe that Bush was behind the 9/11 attacks?
Well, I wish I had more time with you, man, but I don't think Bush is behind anything. Do you really think that he runs the show?
No, but I'm not.
Well, I don't think. All right, I'll put it to you this way, man. I don't believe the official version of the events of 9/11. Do I think that Bush masterminded the attack with his administration? No, I obviously don't. I think Bush is a puppet president. However, I do think that there are powerful people within their administration that are corrupt. I mean, Cheney strikes me as one. I mean, if you look at the Mineta testimony, it's not in our film, but hopefully you'll go and check it out. He's actually in a bunker prior to the Pentagon strike, and he allows the attack to happen. And that was Norm Mineta at the 9/11 Commission hearing. He said he was in a bunker with Cheney at like 9:20. An aide came in, said the plane was 50 miles out, it was 30 miles out, it's 10 miles out. Did the order still stand? And Cheney snapped his head around, said the order still stand. It could have only been a stand-down order. And I think that he is criminally culpable in that crime, absolutely.
Okay, well, I don't know about that, but how about the guy that was just caught for shredding up the papers was important documents in the archive?
Which ones are you talking about? What are you talking about? Really quick, Frank.
Gosh. I honestly don't know
Frank.
His name.
Listen to me. Loosechange911.com. You can watch it in DVD quality for free. I'm on once a week. Get back to me or email me, all right? Hey, Merry Christmas, man. Check out the flick.
Lies,